Uncle Marcus, since 'tis my father's mind that I repair to Rome, I am content.
And ours with thine, befall what fortune will.
Good uncle, take you in this barbarous Moor, this ravenous tiger, this accursed devil. Let him receive no sustenance. Fetter him till he be brought unto the Empress' face for testimony of her foul proceedings. And see the ambush of our friends be strong. I fear the Emperor means no good to us.
Some devil whisper curses in my ear and prompt me that my tongue may utter forth the venomous malice of my swelling heart.
Away! Illumined dogs! Unhallowed slaves! Sirs, help our uncle to convey him here.
Trumpets show the Emperor is at hand.
What hath the firmament more sons than one?
What boots it thee to call thyself a son?
Rome's emperor and nephew break the power. These quarrels must be quietly debated. The feast is ready which the careful Titus hath ordained to an honorable end. For peace, for love, for league, and good to Rome. These you therefore draw nigh and take your places.
Marcus, we will.
Welcome, my lord. Welcome, dread queen. Welcome, you warlike Goths. Welcome, Lucius. And welcome all. Although the cheer be poor, 'twill fill your stomachs. Please, you eat of it.
Why art thou thus attired, Andronicus?
Because I would be sure to have all well to entertain your highness and your empress.
We are beholden to you, good Andronicus.
And if your highness knew my heart, you were. The Emperor, resolve me this. Was it well done of rash Virginius to slay his daughter with his own right hand because she was enforced, stained, and deflowered?
It was, Andronicus.
Your reason, mighty lord.
Because the girl should not survive her shame, and by her presence still renew his sorrows.
A reason mighty, strong, and effectual. A pattern, precedent. And lively warrant for me, most wretched, to perform the like.
Die, and thy shame with thee, and with thy shame thy father's sorrow die.
What hast thou done, unnatural and unkind?
Killed her, for whom my tears have made me blind. I am as woeful as Virginius was, and have 1,000 times more cause than he to do this outrage. And it now is done.
What was she ravished? Tell who did the deed.
Will please you eat. Will please your highness feed.
Why hast thou slain thy only daughter thus?
Not I. 'Twas Chiron and Demetrius. They ravished her and cut away her tongue, and they, 'twas they that did her all this wrong.
Go fetch them hither to us presently.
Why, there they are, both baked in this pyre whereof their mother daintily hath fed, eating the flesh that she herself hath bred. 'Tis true, true, witness my knife.
Sharp point! Die, frantic wretch, for it's a cursed deed!
Can the son's eye behold his father? There's meat for me! That's for a deadly deed!
You sad-faced men, people and sons of Rome, by uproar severed, and a flight of fowl scattered by winds and high tempestuous gusts.
Oh, let me teach you how to knit again.
This scattered corn into one mutual seed. These broken limbs again into one body, lest Rome herself be bane unto herself, and she whom mighty kingdoms curtsy to, like a forlorn and desperate castaway, do shameful execution on herself. But if my frosty signs and chaps of age, grave witness to true experience, cannot induce you to attend my words, speak, Rome's dear friend, as erst our ancestor, when with his solemn tongue he did discourse to lovesick Dino's sad attending ear, the story of that baleful burning night when subtle Greeks surprised King Priam's Troy. Tell us what Sinon hath bewitched our ears, and who hath brought the fatal engine in that gave our Troy, our Rome, the civil woo. My heart is not compact of flint nor steel, nor can I utter all our bitter griefs. But floods of tears will drown my oratory and break my utterance, even at a time when it should move ye to attend me most and force you to commiseration. Here's Rome's young captive. Let him tell the tale, while I stand by and weep to hear him speak.
And gracious auditory, be it known to you that Chiron and the damned Demetrius were they that murdered our emperor's brother. And they it were that ravished our sister. For their fell faults, our brothers were beheaded. Our father's tears, despised and basely cozened of that true hand that fought Rome's quarrel at and sent her enemies unto the grave. Lastly, myself, unkindly banished, the gates shut on me and turned weeping out to beg relief among Rome's enemies, who drowned their enmity in my true tears and oped their arms to embrace me as a friend. I am the turned forth, be it known to you, that hath preserved her welfare in my blood, and from her bosom took the enemy's point, sheathing the steel in my adventurous body. Alas, you know I am no vaunter, I. My scars can witness, dumb although they are, that my report is just and full of truth. But soft, methinks I do digress too much, citing my worthless praise. Oh, pardon me, for when no friends are by, men praise themselves.
Now is my turn to speak. Behold the child! Of this was Tamina delivered, the issue of an irreligious war, chief architect and plotter of these woes. The villain is alive in Titus' house, and as he is to witness, this is true. Now, judge what cause had Titus to revenge these wrongs unspeakable past patience, or more than any living man could bear.
Now you have heard the truth. What say you, Romans? Have we done aught amiss?
Show us wherein, and from the place where you behold us pleading, the poor remainder of Andronici will hand in hand all headlong hurl ourselves, and on the rugged stones beat forth our souls, and make a mutual closure of our house. Speak, Romans, speak! And if you say we shall, lo! Hand in hand! Lucius and I will fall.
Come, Marcus, come, thou reverend man of Rome, and bring our emperor gently in thy hand.
Lucius, our emperor!
For well I know the common voice to cry, it shall be so.
Lucius! All hail! Rome, royal emperor!
Good woman Titus, sorrowful house, and hither hail that misbelieving Moor. To be judged some direful slaughtering death as punishment for his most wicked life.
Lucius! All hail! Rome breaketh over!
Thanks, gentle Romans. May I govern so to heal Rome's harms and wipe away her woe. But, gentle people, give me aim a while, for nature puts me to a heavy task. Stand all aloof. But, uncle, draw you near to shed obsequious tears upon this trunk.
Oh, take this warm kiss on thy pale, cold lips. These sorrowful drops upon thy blood-stained face. The last true duties of thy noble son.
Tear for tear, and loving kiss for kiss, thy brother Marcus tenders on thy lips.
Or were the sum of these that I should pay countless and infinite, yet would I pay them?
Come hither, boy.
Come and learn of us to melt in showers.
My grandsire loved thee well. Many a time he danced thee on his knee, sung thee asleep, his loving breast thy pillow. Many a story hath he told to thee, and bid thee bear his pretty tales in mind and talk of them when he was dead and gone.
How many thousand times have these poor lips, when they were living, warmed themselves on thine? When our sweet boy give them their latest kiss, bid him farewell, commit him to the grave. Do them that kindness and take leave of them.
Grandsire, grandsire, even with all my heart were I were dead so you did live again. Oh, Lord, I cannot speak to him for weeping. My tears will choke me if I were now.
You sad Andronici, have done with woes. Give sentence on this execrable wretch who hath been breeder of these dire events.
Sink him breast deep in earth and famish him. There let him stand and rave and cry for food. If anyone relieves or pities him for the offense, he dies. This is our doom.
Why should wrath be mute and fury dumb? I am no baby, I that with base prayers I should repent the evils I have done. 10,000 worse than ever yet I did would I perform if I might have my will. If one good deed in all my life I did, I do repent it from my very soul.
Some loving friends will pay the emperor hence and his him burial in his father's grave. My father and Lavinia shall forthwith be closed in our household's monument. As for that ravenous tiger, Tamora, no funeral rite, nor man in mourning weed, no mournful bell shall bring her burial, but throw her forth to beasts and birds to prey. Her life was beastly and devoid of pity, and being dead, let birds on her take pity.